It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah! 5 o'clock hour, Cofield and Company. This is the picks hour, the analysis hour, the glass overflowing Adam Hill hour. That yeah was also for the Cardinal of Stanford. Stanford with an early touchdown in a conference tilt.
Terrible development for UNLV, but
I don't care about that storyline. It'll help if Syracuse has a big year. First of all, the game's not over. It's first quarter.
Sure.
I don't care. I root for Syracuse to win two or three games every year. I don't care. And there's extra motivation because Kyle McCord can go whatever. I don't want to do what Deion accused all of us of doing. And I'm also not getting on Derek McCord, the quarterback from Ohio State, now with Syracuse because he's getting NIL.
Kyle McCord?
Did I just call him Derek?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is that his brother?
That's his dad.
Oh, okay.
His dad played quarterback at a certain school when I was in school.
Gotcha.
His backup.
Skewed Rutgers to go to Ohio State and then Syracuse?
Yes. Is it a skewed or a shewed?
A skewed.
Is it?
I think so.
I thought it was always a shewed. Like brushed off. Right?
We might have
to look it up. This could be a battle of grammar, and I generally lose 99% of these.
Not really grammar, more just pronunciation. I see it written more than said, so.
Yeah, I don't hear it used very often. I think the kids these days, and even the old folks like me, would use a snubbed.
I hope that's the kids would say.
It's really not a new word.
It's a more common phrase.
If we went through eras, is snubbed more of my era? Is that like a late 80s, early 90s? Is dissed a 90s into the 2000s?
I think dissed is 90s into 2000s.
And then there's got to be some new terminology that I'm unaware of since the year 2000.
That's a, like, 80s reference from Conan.
I know.
I mean.
It was a great bit, though.
90s.
It was a great bit. I don't know where I am anymore. Someone asked me yesterday. Salerno was like, what, the Patriots and the Mark Sanchez era? And I'm like, I don't know when the Sanchez era was.
96, 97?
What?
I have no idea. I'm just making up numbers.
96, 97 was, I think, closer to the Testy era.
Okay. 2006?
How old do you think Sanchez is?
60?
No.
I don't know.
Have you seen him on his games?
Yeah, he's like probably 38.
Wow, that was good. That was real good.
Is he?
He's 38, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, so 16 years ago. Okay, so it was about 2009. I thought it was more recent. That's how much I've just kind of blended the last 15 miserable season for the Jets together.
Completely random. Who was at practice today that I saw that was... Didn't look very old, but does look small for a football player. Adam Archuleta.
Really? Small?
I mean, for a football player. Because he wasn't a guy that was like...
Not 6'2"?
Slight. He was a guy that would like throw his body around and hit people.
I figured he was like 6'2". Was like 190.
Small.
I got real scared the other day. And I know you were part of the conversation, but I don't think you were paying attention. When I pointed out that Randy Couture, the former heavyweight champ of UFC... And 205 champ looked small.
I heard it.
And I wasn't accusing him of not looking muscular.
It sounded like you said, I could take you now.
No, not at all.
But that's what you were saying.
And he's down to 207.
Yeah.
He said it's the lightest he's been like in 30 years.
Yeah, I guess walking around, but I would say he did fight at light heavyweight less than 30 years ago.
Yes. He said he walked around about 220.
Sure.
222. So he wasn't really even a big 205er, and yet he fought heavyweight. And I was at what I still remember as one of the greatest like crowd moments in the history of UFC fights that I covered in person, and that was in Columbus when Randy Couture was going against the 6'8", probably that night, 275, Tim Sylvia, and put him down because everyone disliked Tim Sylvia.
Oh, yeah.
And what a sweetheart he was.
He did
threaten live with us on the show to slap Sports Pig in the face.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's a lovely human being.
I was trying to be nice. Maybe sarcastic. He was very proud of the belt.
And then he lost it.
I'm trying to think of another person who's got a belt and they wear... Oh, you know who it was? Were the videos this week with Sean O'Malley with the belt? They were shot like after the fight? I thought I saw some videos with him where he's like, I'm coming back. I'm like...
Well, you have to keep your belt.
I'm like, you don't have the belt. Stop.
Right, but you have to keep the one that you won.
You think you're chestnut?
That's true. You do keep the one that you won, though, so he does still have one.
You get... Really?
Yeah, but he also...
Do you get... If you win...
Well, he says he didn't lose.
If you're... So. Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
He said he won round 1, 3, and 5.
That's ridiculous. How many punches did he land for the fight? 39?
It wasn't many.
How'd he win?
Well, he says if you look, go back and look and score it again. I mean, I was admittedly scrambling to a red eye right from the fight, so it was a whole lot of time to process it afterwards.
Yes.
But he, in person, he didn't seem to have won.
Today's spot, Ion Sports Gambling with Kenny White, brought to you by our friends at Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. True local bar with sports and an awesome menu. 24/7 breakfast. You got the Reuben, the French dip. They got the chicken tenders the other day. It's dynamite. You get Yiddos there. Those are great. It's voluminous. Lots of things to pick from. Plus, Monday Night Football with Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs. And the dinner special tonight, the Friday dinner special. Stop in. Come on. I'm telling you this at 5:06. Perfect timing, right? Reroute, or if you're going somewhere on the west side of town, headed south, headed north, on Decatur, shrimp scampi over linguine. Oasis Bar and Grill. Follow them on IG at Oasis Bar and Grill, and we will be there next week, Tuesday, from 3 to 6. Oh, very excited about that.
I was just reading about, I couldn't remember all the Tim Sylvia fights after the UFC, when he actually got up to 310 to fight Ray Mercer and got knocked out in 9 seconds.
Swear to God, I was going to mention Ray Mercer and how bad that made MMA look.
It wasn't good.
And Ray Mercer was 47,
yeah,
44, something like that. Those are good memories, aren't they?
Yeah, but then he did submit that World's Strongest Man. Was it Marius Pudzianowski?
He fought Pudzianowski?
And he submitted him with punches. Pudzianowski's like, I'm out.
He gave up?
Yeah.
He was the Polish Bob Sapp.
Yeah.
Both massive individuals. Except Pudzianowski, and I don't think they tested for those fights, because he's like 6 foot, you know, 290. I don't know what he looks like now. But I remember seeing him in a couple fights, and he would just turn purple. I don't know why that happened, but I'm guessing that his gas tank would empty pretty quickly when you're carrying that much mass.
Yeah.
And he bullied a couple of people to victories, but he wasn't very good.
No.
He was big and strong. But that doesn't always make a good fighter.
It usually doesn't actually make a good
yes.
fighter.
Like I said, the stamina goes bye-bye real quick. All right, well, speaking of stamina, they made it. They made it. They had some tough times this year, but the Las Vegas Aces wrapped up the season last night. They didn't play their core four, as some people call them. They, I think, went off as 3.5-point dogs at the MUA, but they handled the Dallas Wings, who are not good.
Well, they didn't, through all the...
9-31 this year, Dallas?
Yeah, but through all, and but without their four, without their top four players, they're still one that's pretty wild. Through all the craziness, ups and downs, and the everything else, and basically not even trying for a stretch of the season, didn't they just fall one game short of your bet?
Yep. I barely got that. Barely. After or at the All-Star break, before they were heading to the Olympics, Willie and I were talking about their final record, because I said, hey, they're going to come back tired. They're going to have a tough time. And then they kind of whizzed through some of the early games after the break, but they caught a couple of losses there. And then the over-under we set was 28-12. If they finished 28-12, and I went over, well, I guess I went under. If they finished 28-12, the push would be Willie's. They finished
28.5.
They finished 27-13.
Yeah. Or 27.5.
Yeah. They finished 27-13.
Yeah.
So he owes me yet another meal. And he's not a cheat when it comes to bets. What's that term? I always call it mush, but that's just a losing better.
Yeah. It's a little different.
Is it welching on a bet? That's what it is. Dave Koken, one time we kind of joked that he was welching out of bed, and he was like, "Rah!"
Well, in that business,
he went, he went real, he got real crazy.
It's the worst thing you can call somebody.
Rest in peace.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, in that biz, there's plenty of people who don't pay.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't even know who you're talking about because there could be. There's so many people it could be. That's a crazy thing. I wish those stories got out.
Sure.
Giving advice on winning bets, not only being someone who actually loses and is well under 50%, they don't pay.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
good.
They're out there.
Yes. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Okay. I do believe the Aces have a good shot to make a run. Can they win the title? Willie says the Lynx are the best team. Liberty are a hell of a team as well.
Yeah. They're both really good. They're probably going to have to go through both of them, honestly. The way that they're, you know, because, you know, in my opinion, they kind of just relaxed a lot of the year and were coasting and waiting for the playoffs. They're going to have to end up potentially playing both of them, and it's a tough path. I think that's the biggest challenge is they have a really tough path coming into this postseason. And if they do have to go through both, that's a tall order, but... You know, obviously, when they are playing at their best, when they're connected, when they're healthy, they are still the best team. Still have the best player in the league. They have every chance to potentially win it. But, you know, playoff series, especially, you know, long series can be tough. They can be draining. And it's been tough to put, you know, back-to-back-to-back-to-back games together for them for much of the season. They're playing well now, but they've got a long way to go here to try to fight their way back through the playoff field.
The Aces were at one point a minus number. I cannot remember. I'll have to look it up for the title. It's now adjusted here going into the playoffs to the Liberty are the favorite at plus 120. I would not bet that. I guess I probably would. Aces are plus 310. Lynx are plus 335. A lot of value on the Fever, 14-1, probably not. Sun are 10-1. Storm have really tumbled. Storm look like a pretty good team, and they've kind of fallen apart. They're 25-1. Anyone else? No, really no one else within hailing distance.
I feel like the Aces are 4. I feel like the Lynx are in a good position because they don't have to play both.
Right, 1-4.
If
yeah,
the
1-4-2-3.
You know, if those are the three best teams, which I think they are, the Liberty and Aces would have to play in the second round, which makes it a little tougher. Lynx should be in the final and only have to play one of them.
I got an interesting question yesterday, and it wasn't like, you know, me hanging out at a bar and a friend asking me this. These are experts. On Sin City Sports Beat, Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network, we had a discussion with your guy, Vince Sapienza, my guy, Mike Davis, and Ray Brewer, who doesn't have a guy. Mike threw out, because we had a block, as they call it. I like calling the show blocks, hate segment. We had a block where Mike came out of the gates, and just so you know, everything on TV is not, you know, live. It's live, but it's not, you know, it's not off the cuff. So there's a little bit of a script. And we could see what Mike was getting to. And Mike wanted to do a block on, is Asia Wilson the best current athlete? Don't take the athleticism part. The best current athlete in Las Vegas sports. Like the biggest star athlete. And Ray, like, while he was reading it, Ray started to, like, roll his eyes. Then he bent over and hunched and was squinting, as he does. The guys, Vince and Mike, had never heard me call Ray the Eeyore of Las Vegas sports media, because he is. And he you could see he was getting real worked up about Asia Wilson being the lead dog amongst professional athletes in this city.
I mean, it's tough because nationally, obviously, she can't compete with Crosby and Adams and people like that.
And again, this is a male athlete, a male female thing. It's just
right.
Like dominant figure amongst Las Vegas professional athletes, and the first guy out of our mouths was Max Crosby. And you're right, Devontae is certainly in that consideration.
Yeah.
And I throw out, like, well, I mean, Max is arguably, what, a top five defender, maybe top three in the National Football League. And it was like, well, Asia's the best in the WNBA.
I mean, that's what the argument is, right? I mean, obviously, NFL players are going to be bigger stars. You know, Jack Eichel is probably a bigger star nationally. But she is the best in her league. And those players are not. So, I mean, from that perspective, you can make that argument. But I think it's very tough to make the argument of a WNBA player over an NFL player.
Yes. And then Ray started going down. Because the other thing was, like, Hall of Famer already, greatest of all time. Like, okay, let's... She has been incredible, and she got a lot better this year. She's great.
Also, are we counting Bryce Harper?
No, I think we were talking about teams on the ground.
Okay.
Not Las Vegas. That's a different category. And Eichel's the first guy you think of on the Knights?
Yeah. In terms of star power.
Mark Stone is awesome.
Yeah.
The health stuff is, you know, a little troubling now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a star, it's Jack Eichel.
All right. No argument to be had there.
No.
Sometimes we get a little geeked up. All right, you haven't been on since Tuesday. Anything of interest, newsworthy, that you've seen on the six-pack expansion? UNLV left out of the invites. Nevada left out of the invites. What have you seen?
Well, I think we can officially rule out the reason UNLV's not in is because they're a package deal with Reno.
And yet, there were still stories all week long.
It was never a thing. And it is a thing that there is a regent saying that they should be a package deal going
right
forward.
They like, in theory, I said it too.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that UNLV doesn't go. And I don't know. I think it's an interesting discussion. I don't think it's the best platform to take for Byron Brooks. Not that he's going to get voted out. But
in the end,
regents can have discussions like that. Like, hey, is this right? And I think a lot of the regents would be like, yes, it is. You're not getting two. You're probably getting one. So at least get one to the promised land, and then work on the second, and maybe you get the second. But one is not an anchor for the other one.
That's the thing. If he thinks UNLV has enough power in this situation to drag Reno with them, then yeah, it's worth making the pitch and saying, hey, they should do this and help them along. But you shouldn't hold UNLV back from doing it because Reno can't get in.
Washington and Oklahoma didn't have enough power.
Yeah.
To drag their, you know, visually lesser schools to the promised land.
Lesser. It's after five. It's not visually lesser. It's lesser.
Yes. On a lot of fronts.
Yeah. Look, I do think the Regents potentially could have had something to do with why they weren't included in a part of the process, because they would have had to make it public. I do think there's part of that. I don't know that those other schools knew that well enough, understood that process well enough to make that a factor. I think there's a possibility that's it.
Well, they can invite them, and now when it's public, look out.
Yeah.
That's real dangerous territory to start that debate and potentially turn off the six-pack, or even worse, turn off the Big 12.
Yeah. I mean, I do think there's a lot of factors that have gone into it. Some conversations that I've heard that were had by the Pac-12 and the new four, or by the Pac-2 and the new four, whatever you want to call it, six-pack.
Disloyal four.
Who
we may ban from the show.
Smart four.
At Mountain West Conference Media Day.
The smart four.
Are you in for that?
We're
banning them.
Why, for being smarter?
We're banned. Leon Rice is no longer.
That's fine.
No, no Brian Dutcher. You're out.
Some of the conversations I've had that those schools had with the Pac-2 are silly and dumb. But I do think that there's still a chance at some point. I will say UNLV needs to show desperation in getting in the Pac-12 or Big 12.
Did you see the tweet I sent out yesterday that proposed UNLV would have to accept 80% of the conference payout for the first couple of years in a new Pac-12.
That was a dumb proposal from somebody, but yeah, I mean, no.
Why was it dumb? No. Just that part?
I thought it was like a troll Twitter account.
That's an Oregon State fan who is really active tweeting.
Yeah. Not like a real proposal. It's just somebody saying, why don't they do this?
Well, no. But it has happened in the past. There have been schools that have been desperate enough where they're like, okay, those are the terms? Yeah, I'll do it.
I would take it.
Okay. And there were some people. Most were like, no. There were some people yesterday on Twitter who responded like, hey, you know what? Take it.
The proposal set for the first 2 years.
Yeah.
Again, and I know, like, I do foresee, again, I still think this is happening, that these conferences are breaking away. And so you have to get in part. You have to be a part of it. Take whatever you have to. Come hat in hand. Beg to get in.
Okay. Again, just food for thought. Someone on Twitter saying, the rebuilding Pac-12 has reached out to multiple AAC schools. We've heard about Memphis and Tulane. But it's running into a roadblock. The American schools have been less receptive to Pac-12 advances compared to how Mountain West Conference institutions left out have been very eager for an invite. It seems, as this person put it, that the American stability is a, quote, problem. Which I think presents, one, they have a new commissioner. So I don't know if you remember the name Tim Pernetti.
Sure.
But he most recently was running IMG. He was on the radio and college side there. He was the AD of a superpower in the past.
Did the AAC do a study? Did the AAC do a study of where the threats might come from?
They don't have the report back on the threats. I think that's a 2-year project that they paid $13 million to a consulting firm on. That's a joke about the Mountain West doing that. I don't know about the $13 million, and I don't know about a 2-year window. But anyway, the American could also nut up big time and try to steal the rest of the Mountain West Conference teams, and then the Pac-6 could be looking around like, okay, what the hell's going on here?
What does that do?
I'm not saying that UNLV would absolutely do that. If it's incentivized on the front end with payments to help cover the exit fee.
It'd be fantastic. Well, there's no more conference then. It'd be fantastic. Let them all go, and then UNLV said, "Yeah, you guys enjoy that."
So let everyone else take the invite from the
AAC. We're the Pac-12. See you later.
So you think behind the scenes are rooting for New Mexico and Nevada?
Yeah, have fun in your trash conference. We'll be in the Pac-12. Or the Big 12.
And what I'm talking about is Tulane and Memphis staying. You don't think the AAC has a chance to really stick it to this Pac-12 trying to scoop up schools?
They do, but I don't think in that case, if you told Memphis, hey, guess what? Get New Mexico. Be like, yeah, we're going to the Pac-12. we're good. I don't know. Could we tempt you with a couple trips to Reno every year? And no, we're going to the Pac-12.
Before we get to all the football picks and angles and leans and likes in the NFL, which we'll do in less than 10 minutes, I got to get your take as a guy who covers a lot of NFL. You love analytics. You love football strategy. I think it is. Did you hear Mel Kiper talking about
not a bit.
Defense? Well, I want to see if you agree with it. Fire Kiper here talking about his annoyance with the two high safeties.
Well, I grew up with the best of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s. You're talking about deep shot. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay, check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on.
Okay. I love hearkening back. Those were not, I mean, for a guy his age, those are the glory days. But you're also missing out on mentioning incredible inaccuracy passing.
40% passing.
A good portion of the league simply could not compete, so there were a bunch of really sucky teams.
Guys were smoking in timeouts.
That never happened. Kidding. Yeah. There's actually video and pictures of Len Dawson smoking on the field. Let me get a heater here. Let me get a little puff. Whatever. I don't want to kill. It's nice to look back. It's fun to reminisce about 60s, 70s, and 80s football. I also think having... I guess he's basing this on more than just the first couple of weeks of the season, but give me a little more, Kiper.
That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the cornerbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, Too high? They're out in outer space. I couldn't even find us. And they're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing. Competition committee, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safety.
The NFL is being ruined.
Yeah. Nobody's watching it anymore.
Sucks. I think about that all the time as I'm watching games. That's all I thought about last night. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers simply can't move the ball down the field.
Also, nobody's watching. It's record numbers every week. Ruined. Ruined.
Have you heard this from other people? What do you think of his rant?
Yeah, I've heard it. It's stupid from other people. People are just talking about how dumb it is. It is dumb. Now, I think the comparison that you would make that I haven't heard a lot of people necessarily make or whatever is it's like baseball did with the shift. When you say, like, you can say, hey, this guy's the lineup here, this guy's the lineup here. There's all kinds of rules about formation. So it's not completely unfeasible that you could do it. There's a way to do it. There's precedent for changing rules in that way. It's just dumb. Not
here's
everyone.
Here's Chuck Pagano, a defensive guy, hanging out with McAfee, responding.
Well, I used to have mad respect for Mad Mel.
Really?
Until this damn take. Mel, we can't touch the receivers anymore. You can't get near a quarterback. The only chance we get maybe take a down off in the back end and protect against these unbelievable wide receivers these days. Now you want to ban too high shell. We're not even playing that much cover two out of that too high shell. There's quarters. There's quarter half. There's strong roll, weak roll.
All right. Another good conversation from the McAfee Show. Everyone just starts yelling.
I love it.
Lovely. I know you love it. Will this even be considered?
No. No.
Exactly.
No.
Because he is right. Like, we have to have some flexibility on defense to combat a league that has been built with rule changes to help the offense. Enough.
It's also...
We're, as a defense, they're basically telling you, here you go. There are windows where you can get 15 to 25-yard gains. Now your quarterback and your offense that you're running has to be good enough to do it, but it's there.
Yeah, if you're only dropping safeties 30 yards off the line of scrimmage, then you're just going to take 15-yard passes all day.
I don't like
quarterbacks
that.
Are really good. They'll figure it out.
I want the deep shots.
So dumb. Who likes incomplete passes? That's what he wants? Back in the days he's talking about, it was like 40% completion percentage. That's what you liked? I like when the ball just falls harmlessly to the turf.
Get on down here to the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside TI. Parking's always free in the garage. You don't get that anywhere else on the strip. And a great menu here at the Golden Circle. They've got Reuben and a beer special. They've got fish and chips and a beer special. The golden quesadilla. Who doesn't like garlic parmesan fries? Giant pretzel. Big fan of that. And, of course, my favorite, the Southpaw chicken tenders. Come on down. Watch the games tonight right now. Stanford up 10-0 on the road in ACC play against Syracuse.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Some Raider news set up this Raiders-Panthers game. Also, what we're going to do in our contest. A lot of the picks are in from the CNC crew. Adam will grade the games that have been selected so far. Want to remind you, busy weekend on the way, and then we blow it out at the beginning of the week. We're all over town. On Tuesday, we're going to be at Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. 24/7 breakfast. Deep, deep menu. Monday Night Football there with Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs. It's Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. They got the dinner special rocking tonight like they do every night. Shrimp scampi over linguine. You can get that right now. Get off the roads and go eat. Do it. And you can get all this information up on Instagram at Oasis Bar and Grill on IG. Let's fire it. Get jacked up. All right, here we go. Here we go. I feel like the injuries are starting to pile up for the Raiders. Looking at the injury report today, what's going on? You think JPJ is going to be back, but then they've got other issues on the offensive line to deal with, and Max Crosby.
No, I think they're fine. On the line, looks like most of the guys are going to be able to play.
What's going on with Parham?
He's fine. I mean, he's just a little limited during the week. Okay. Colton Miller, obviously, is still trying to get over a lot of what he's been going through, especially the shoulder, and just shaking off the rust of not having training camp. So he'll be there. obviously the biggest concern throughout the week was Max Crosby on the other side. I mean, when he left the field on Sunday, it looked like he would never walk again. And now he's fine. He had a brace on at practice. He had it really taped up. But yesterday, the locker room, he didn't have anything on, and he was walking around fine. And then today he looked fine, too. He's questionable for the game, but interesting that they would even list him as questionable because Antonio Pierce said he's fine. And he'll probably play 100% of the snaps. So not really questionable. DeCameron Richardson still not going to be available. Tyree Wilson is back. They're banged up, but they're pretty healthy in terms of as far as NFL teams go.
Sorry, how much talk was there about putting the Ravens win behind them immediately and not taking a game for granted against what looks like a very lowly Panther squad?
A lot, and they're certainly not saying like, hey, let's take the next four as one game. But I think a lot of the players are looking at this stretch of four games and saying, a legitimate chance to win all of these games. And any game that you lose in this stretch is just giving back that one that you beat, the one game that you had against Baltimore. So you can't do that. You have to continue to move forward. But I think there was a lot of talk of, hey, that wasn't a great win. It was a great win in terms of going on the road and beating Baltimore, which is very, very hard to do. But it's not like they played great. They had a lot of breaks go their way. A lot of things went, if we could change one of these, like five things were 50-50, they lose. All five went their way. Like, okay, we'll take it, but let's not sit back and say, hey, we're awesome.
Is Andy Dalton dangerous?
He's for the Raiders. They've never beaten him. He started three times against the Raiders. They're 3-0. Dalton is in those games. He also came in a 2021 game when he played for the Bears. Justin Fields got sacked. He was getting checked out on the sideline. Dalton came in, threw a pass, played, I think, two or three snaps in that game, and they won that game too. So 4-0 anytime that he's taken the field against the Raiders, they've never beaten them.
Panthers have some talent deficiencies that can't all be made up by an enthused squad. Although, we saw the Raiders last year with AP just getting rid of. McDaniels really pick it up, have some energy. How bad was it with Bryce Young? Pretty freaking incredible. Nine games going back. The two games this year, and going back nine games total, they had led in nine games for 10 seconds. Yeah. They were always behind.
Yeah.
Did you see the number about their third down efficiency over the recent Bryce Young starts?
0%?
Well, third down efficiency, your goal is to what? Be somewhere in the 40s, 45%. If you're at 50%, freaking awesome. You really don't want to be in the low 30s. With Bryce Young, in recent times, their third down conversion rate was 9%. 9%!
Not good.
So I can't help but think they're going to come in fired up. Now, do they have enough talent that carries them? Maybe they can play a close game here. I don't think they have a great running game. I don't think they can stop the run, unless the Chargers are like an all-time freaking run game now. That was pathetic last week.
Yeah.
I pointed out the other day, when you got a running back who is barely touched on a long run going down the sidelines, he's like, you know what? There's a guy like a yard behind me. I'm going to do a front flip for a touchdown. I was like, what is going on? That's a freaking, you want to talk about a slap in the face of the Panthers defense. They stink. So we'll see if they can nut up and be a little better,
I mean, Derek Brown is their defense.
And that's the problem.
He's out for the year, so going to be real tough.
This part of the program where we get to our contest picks consideration. Today is brought to you by Porta Subs. Caller 7 right now. 364-1100, 364-1100. You want a tailgate? You want to have the big sub? For the viewing at home tomorrow? Well, on a Saturday or Sunday. We're giving away a 2-foot classic sub from Porta Subs, your neighborhood sandwich shop. Caller 7, 364-1100, 364-1100. Big Griffin will hook you up with the sub. Get in as caller 7. All right. So we're in the circuit contest. We're doing a relegation system. It has changed the rankings. I'm on top. I've had winners opening up. Cofield, then Alex, then Justin, then Griffin, then Willie. Salerno would be up next if Willie drops out. Nye is also in. Everyone's made a pick except me. So I'll give you the games I'm considering. And actually, no one really messed with my games. Alex is going to take the Eagles. The number is plus +3. I want to double check that. Against the Saints on the road. So he wants the Eagles plus +3. Thoughts?
Don't hate it. I mean, the Saints are fraudulent. I don't know if this is the week that they come back to earth, but they will at some point. I don't love that there's no A.J. Brown because the offense does look different for the Eagles, but I think getting three is probably the right side.
Okay. Justin is going with the Vikings plus +2 against the Texans. And again, these numbers are set yesterday. This is a contest. Sometimes stale numbers.
Yeah.
What do you think? Sam Darnold, he is great.
For 3 weeks, and this is still week three.
He's still in the PFF zone.
Yeah, three week Sam Darnold. So he's still there. So, yeah, you're still within your window.
We are split on opinions in the Ravens-Cowboys game. Griffin has taken the Ravens minus a point. I did have this game under consideration, but on the Cowboys side, what would you do? I mean, it's his pick. He's in.
Yeah, I think it's Ravens or nothing. I'd probably leave nothing. But the Ravens, it was concerning what happened at the end of last week in terms of just completely falling apart because a couple calls didn't go their way. But I do. I mean, I was at the game. They were by far the better team. They just lost. Obviously, they lost the way that they did in Kansas City. I don't think that can continue. I think at some point, the better team is going to win the game that they're in, and they are the better team.
You don't worry about the Ravens' pass defense?
It's a concern, but you know, I also think that there was a couple of kind of fluky things there in that game that happened. That I don't think it was necessarily just getting beat, you know, in coverage, things like that. There was just a couple of weird situations.
Final pick in the five hole is Willie. He's going to lay the points with the Seahawks, 4.5.
Yeah, I don't love it. I understand the reasoning. No Tua. The Dolphins are shell-shocked, probably, you know, pretty depressed about the season potentially hanging in the balance. But the Seahawks have been quite a bit overrated. I think if the Dolphins lose, it's probably by a field goal. But I think that they have a pretty good chance of actually going on the road and winning.
Alternates trying to move up in our relegation system. And again, we have 4 of the 5 picks in. I have to pick a game. We have to get this in by Saturday, 4 p.m. Salerno's going to go Bengals minus -7.5 against the Commies.
I don't think I'd like to lay more than a touchdown, especially with the Bengals, especially with Joe Burrow's ailing shoulder, but ailing arm, wrist, excuse me. But Commanders' pass defense has been pretty brutal.
Nye's going to go with the Browns minus -6.5 against the Giants.
Browns can't score. He'll take the Giants in that spot.
I didn't love either one of them, but like you said, I'm not real prone to laying bigger numbers.
You almost kind of have to take the Steelers. It's just game theory and contest. Too many teams that pick late are going to take them, and it's essentially a free space. I mean, if they lose, they lose, but everybody else is going to be on that too. You got to take advantage of the teams that picked early and made a mistake. So it sucks, and it's not like it's a guaranteed win, but you just have to do it.
Here's the games I'm considering and want your grades on these. Colts minus -1.5, Bears. A lot of people crushing Anthony Richardson right now.
Yeah, but they're crushing Caleb Williams too. So the problem with the Colts is they just can't stop the run. That's a real problem. And I don't know how much the Bears are actually going to run.
Considering Titans minus -2 against the Packers.
Revenge game?
Well, he said.
Anti-revenge game?
He said no. Malik Willis kind of fired back on that one. He's like, you know what? I enjoyed my time there. That's not how I get motivated.
They taught me how to be an NFL player. I enjoyed it. It was a good time. I don't really have a strong lead in that game.
Would it be insane on my part with the mind of Will Levis to rely on Will Levis to get me a game?
I mean, at some point he's going to roll the ball somewhere, and it's going to be frustrating. It's tough to watch if you make a bet on them.
And I got to tell you, my favorite play, and I know I'm going to pay for this because everything says, although the line movement, it could say something else too, but I like the Rams plus the points against the Niners. The Niners have won 8 of 9 in this series. Brock Purdy, I think, is 7-0 against the Rams. But both teams are beat to hell. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah.
But no Puka Nacua, no Cooper Kupp. The offensive line is blistered right now for the Rams. The Niners, likely no Kittle. Debo's out. And you know what? Brock Purdy really hasn't gotten good protection so far. He hasn't really been good.
Well, the entire key to their offense is all the catch and run, and they haven't had that. They're at the bottom of the league in terms of run after the catch numbers, which they're usually number one by far, and it's just not happening this year.
So who do I rely on? The boy genius, McVay, or a little Shanny?
I think it's more taking points than what should be a low-scoring game.
Wow, okay. I was expecting to get steamrolled on that one, but that could be the play. That could be the play. If you're looking for last-minute information, the line moves, the injuries, Sunday mornings, JVT Sunday Football Preview Show is live at the Westgate in the Superbook, 8A to 9A live show. John Murray, one of the sharpest bookmakers in the country, who, by the way, likes the Ravens as his pick of the week. Saw that with him and Sammy P. He'll be on in the 8:45 slot with John Von Tobel. And, of course, they've got Football Central with the smoke-free theater, lots of specials on the food and the drink, and the book is awesome as well. And don't forget the 4K viewing in Football Central in that international theater is dynamite. Westgate, Superbook. Get out there. Certainly listen on ESPN Las Vegas to JVT's Sunday Football Preview Show.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Prize is still available on Cofield and Company. 364-1100, caller 7. We got a pair of tickets to next week's show with Wu-Tang Clan. Last dates of the residency. Two nights coming up, September 27th and the 28th, Theater at Virgin. Grab those tickets at AXS.com. But two tickets right now for Wu-Tang. All Wu-Tang members included. Griffin will hook you up, caller 7, 364-1100, 364-1100. Please go into the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I wanted to get your take on this one, just thoughts. News, and one of it's an old news item, but I don't think most people know about it. But one, we'll say UNLV legacy recruits, and that can even include, hey, I've got a family member there now. A lot of times that's a reference to dad played there. Is the son going to go there? Is the daughter going to go there? News coming out that DJ Thomas's younger brother, he's a 2026 point guard, no more at Liberty High School. He's going to play in Arizona at Desert Vista High School, a little less highly recruited, touted. UNLV wants him. Does that mean anything that he's schooling in Arizona?
No, maybe get him. Well, never mind. Does it get him familiar with the Pac-12 for when he's there? But no longer.
Don't ever do conference ties ever again.
No, it doesn't work.
You can't figure it out.
No. I mean, I think it depends how, you know, DJ's experience goes to UNLV. Yeah. That's what'll matter.
Yep. And families and kids have different reactions to playing in and out of the market, and you'll see kids prep out of state.
Sure.
It often happens. It is interesting, and I thought of this when I saw that Barry Odom was doing an interview with an Arkansas radio station the other day. You know, his son, before the season, went back to Arkansas. He's playing college football there. He's committed. Garrett is. He's committed to UNLV. He's had some monster games. I know one of the early games he had 364 and 3 touchdowns and some rushing yards. So kind of interesting that he's back there.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know what's funny? Sure. I see him. Obviously, the family's making money with the football job. Yeah. I do see him at – I think I've seen him at every game, I think.
Yeah. So, on a side note, just unrelated, but the kid – you see the Auburn recruit that had a 450 yards and 10 touchdowns in a loss?
What?
In a loss.
Oh, my God.
One of the craziest stat lines I've ever seen.
Hey, one game we really didn't give a strong take on, Berbert addressed it, but in the last 10 seconds, are the Chiefs okay with all these injuries? You feel safe going on the road laying 3?
Taylor will be there. It's fine.
Taylor will be there. Couldn't get Kirk Cousins a bite on it, huh? He's just like, oh, I'm not that interested.
No, yeah, I think she can probably get here with her plane.
Prime time Kirk is often boring, Kirk. Thanks to Treasure Island for hosting the show. Get down here to the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We'll see you.